We're almost there. Just a few more weeks and the year 2014 will be all over. For some of us, it was time of struggles and time of difficulties. But we praise God that in those struggles and difficulties, He was there. Amen? And for some others, maybe more triumphs and successes. And again, we praise God for being there with us. And that's exactly what we find in Scripture. No matter where we are in life, God is there with us. He's present. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And John, wanting us not to forget this, writes, as it was nicely read by Zach Sarsoza, our scripture reading, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." Behold, look at it. It's real. It's the one thing that can change you. It's the one thing that can transform you. And John, not having words to describe this amazing love, he just invites us to behold it, to look at it. And now when we use that word love, it's kind of ambiguous sometimes. I love bananas, right? I love mangoes. And it's something that is pretty personal and centered around the one person who is expressing it. Doesn't mean that others like it. Doesn't mean that others enjoy it. But this person seems to enjoy it so much that he uses this word love. We find it also sometimes in ways that we would probably define more as infatuation. Irrational kind of behavior. And we also know that that is not love. Love is not blind, as many people claim it to be. And John reminds us that love is a person. Love is a principle by which people live, and they love and serve God, and they love and serve others around them. We've been reading the book, The Adventist Home, on Wednesday nights. How many of you have been reading the book with us? I know not everybody can make it on Wednesday night, but some of us are reading, and powerful quotes. And there was a section there that she describes this love, this godly love. Love that Scripture talks about. And she describes it in these words. "Love is a precious gift which we receive from Jesus. Pure and holy affection is not a feeling, but a principle." Another little quote. "Those who are actuated by true love are neither unreasonable nor blind. True love is a high and holy principle, altogether different in character from that love which is awakened by impulse and which suddenly dies when severely tested." Another section, she says, "Love is a plant of heavenly growth, and it must be fostered and nourished. Affectionate hearts, truthful, loving words will make happy families and exert an elevating influence upon all who come within the sphere of their influence." And I thought of that. Love exerts an elevating influence upon all who come within the sphere of its influence. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God." And we heard, children have something that we adults need, and that is faith, trust. Amen? And in John chapter 3, verse 1, we hear those words, "Behold, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we human beings should be called the children, the sons and daughters of God." Now, some of us might be thinking, how can we love in that way? We human beings are not used to that, are we? We're used to thinking mostly about self. And boy, does that get us into trouble, doesn't it? I don't know if you've heard, this week came out in the news, prominent family, vice president of an airline company, well known, respected for their high quality service. And the vice president was flying from New York to her country of origin. And as she was there, the stewardess came up to her and offered her some almonds, some peanuts, something we get when we get on a plane. But it was not served on a plate. And she made that plane turn around, go back, and asked the stewardess to get off the plane. Now that hit Facebook, Twitter. And this vice president had to apologize before media for her actions. And not only did this cost her embarrassment, but her father, who was the president and owner of the company, asked her to step down as vice president and told her that she would not inherit this company that belonged to him or any of the other companies that he owned. We might look at that and say, wow. But doesn't that happen to us often? Don't we find ourselves in that position? We are children of the King of Kings. And with that comes great responsibility. And we ask ourselves, God, how did you choose us to be your children and represent you? Your kingdom. In the book Steps to Christ, we find this quote, "It is impossible for us of ourselves to escape from the pit of sin in which we are sunken. Our hearts are evil and we cannot change them. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. The carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." On our own strength, there's nothing we can do to fight against this carnal nature. In fact, she continues saying the following. And I'm trying to, there we go. "Education, culture, the exercise of the will, human effort, all have their proper sphere. But here they are powerless. They may produce an outward correctness of behavior, but they cannot produce what? Change the heart. They cannot purify the springs of life. There must be a power working from within, a new life from above, before men can be changed from sin to holiness." And praise God that she doesn't leave it there. But she tells us what that power is. That power is Christ. His grace alone can quicken the lifeless faculties of the soul and attract it to God, to holiness. Behold what manner of love the Father. There is the solution for our human weakness. There is the solution to our human problem. There is the solution to our selfishness. It's that power is Christ. And John inviting us to behold it. Because by beholding, we become changed. Now, it's not the most popular thing to be a child of God, is it? At least not in our world. And the world doesn't understand why we act in certain ways, why we forgive, why we trust, why we are patient with each other. And the reason why we do this is because we know Him, and they still don't know our God. But do they need to know Him too, brothers and sisters? And what an opportunity for us to share Jesus with others. We might still think, impossible for me to do. But all those things that are impossible for us to do, for God, there's nothing impossible. For Him, all things are possible. And this is something that caught my attention too. This quote right here on page 21. The heart of God yearns over His earthly children with a love stronger than what? Death. A love stronger than death. In giving up His Son, He has poured out to us all heaven in one gift. Yes. All of heaven was poured down upon planet Earth. When John was saying, behold, he wasn't just saying, look at how He came when He was a baby. And it's nice to think that God would make Himself a man and come to this earth. But He's inviting us to go even further back when He was there with Adam and Eve and He was telling them, a Messiah will come. The promised one will come. And He will save you from your sins, Adam and Eve. And the Messiah did come, amen? And not only did He live with us for 30-some years, but He actually gave His life on that cross so that you and I could one day live eternally. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. John continues sharing there in verse 2, and what we will become, we still don't even imagine what we will become. But when we see Him, when He appears again, when Jesus comes again, then we will see who we are. Because we will have seen Him. Is that a promise? That's a promise. There is hope for us human beings. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3 concludes with these words. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. And it says the following: everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. That's a high calling, John. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as He is pure. What will it take for that to happen right here? I think that's the quote. The the Savior's life and death and intercession, the ministry of angels, the pleading of the Spirit, the Father working above and through all, the unceasing interest of heavenly beings, all are enlisted in behalf of whose redemption? Of man's redemption. All those things, the Savior life and death and intercession, the ministry of angels, the pleading of the Spirit, the Father working above and through all, the unceasing interest of heavenly beings, all are enlisted in behalf of our redemption. That's a promise. Everything that is possible for God to do, He will do so that you and I can have life eternal. Amen? And today, we have the great opportunity to share communion together. And if we hear this word communion, I hear this. I hear the word community. And we come here to the Fallbrook SDA Church. We have different backgrounds. Some of us have been born in a different country. Some of us speak a different language. Some of us have chosen different careers. But what binds us together is whose love? God's love. That brings us together as a community. That ties us together as a community. And even though this world would like to divide us and categorize us into different things, there's only one thing that I find in the Bible that we're called, and He calls us the children of what? Of God. He calls us the children of the heavenly King. We are somebody, amen? By God's grace. So as we partake of the bread that represents Jesus' body, as we partake of the wine that represents His blood that was shed, as we wash each other's feet, I want to invite you to behold Him, to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, to behold His amazing love, amazing grace. And maybe if just for a few minutes we could just take away anything that is distracting us. Anything that might be stressing us. Anything that might be worrying us. And say, God, help me in the few minutes that we still have left today. During this time of communion. We want to behold Your love. Amen? We want to behold Jesus. We want to be changed into His likeness. And the promise is, if we continue to behold Him, we will be changed. So we want to take now minutes to go into our fellowship hall. And there, everything has been prepared very nicely by our deaconesses, our deacons. And it's a moment where we can participate with somebody else and share with them who Jesus is and the way He came to serve us. We also want to serve each other. We also want to love each other. And we're going to take about 7 minutes. It's 12:24. So about 12:31, we should be coming back this way and getting ready for participating of the bread and the wine that has been also nicely prepared for this very occasion. Thank you.